down to verse 40, sixth chapter. The topics, the subject matter of the sixth chapter is regarding the greater trial. This deals more with, say, philosophically, esoterically, very detailed description of who is the greater trial in relationship with this world and in relationship with studying the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So if you'd like, kindly repeat after me, please.
Vande,
Vande,
Vanda,
Vima, Advaitacharyam,
Abhuta,
Abhuta,
Chesitam,
Chesitam,
Yasya,
Yasya,
Sada,
Prasada,
Sarupam,
Sarupam,
Nirupayet,
Nirupayet,
Vandetam, Srimad, Advaitacharyam, Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Vandetam, Srimad, Advaitacharyam, Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Yasyam, Prasadagya, Pitat, Svarupam, Nirupayet,
Yasyam, Prasadagya, Sarupam, Nirupayet,
Vandetam, Srimad, Advaitacharyam, Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Vandeyam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Vandeyam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Vandeyam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Yasya Prasadat Vijam Srimad Nirupayet,
Vandetam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Vandetam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Vandetam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Vandetam Srimad Advaitacharyam Adbhuta Cheshtitam,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Yasya Prasadat Yogi Tat Svarupam Nirupayet,
Vande,
Vande,
I offer my respectful obeisances,
I offer my respectful obeisances,
Advaitacharyam, whose activities are wonderful,
Yasya, Yasya,
of whom,
the Sadat,
the mercy, Agyapi,
Agyapi,
the foolish person,
even the foolish person,
that's
the
Rupam,
that's the Rupam,
his characteristics,
his characteristics,
Rupaye,
Rupaye,
they describe,
we describe.
Translation is no proper. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaitacharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. And I'll just read a few more verses here, then we'll go on to the appearance of Advaitacharya, and the last time we have four. If you do have your notebooks, notepads, iPads, laptops, mobiles, whatever you've got, you can maybe follow this text number four. Lord Advaitacharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Because he is not different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Interesting. He also knows incarnation. I mean, you see in the seventh chapter, next chapter, this Adilila, the described as Bhakta Avatar, incarnation, the Supreme Lord. He appears as incarnation of a devotee, as well as an incarnation of the Lord himself in the form of Mahavishnu. He becomes Advaita Acharya. It's a pretty thankless task, you could say, in a sense, creating this material world. It's like, you know, just creating massive prison houses all over the place. That's it. There's just different varieties of cells within a prison house for the errant living entities to reside in. So he appears in this form of Advaita Acharya also as a combined form. It's also Sada Shiva, Lord Shiva, from whom, you know, the Shiva comes. A combined form to deliver the living entities. This is his idea. We'll hear about that later on. In a prison house, it's not we just like to see the prisoners suffer and keep them there for everyone. One hopes they'll reform. So the Lord himself, on a mission, creates the universe and impregnates all living entities within the universe. He himself enters in this form of Advaita Acharya within the universe with the personal intention of trying to awaken everyone to Krishna consciousness, wake them up. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of God himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. I think I'm going to leave that. It's very, it goes into very great depth, describing very deeply, I think, philosophical aspect of the Advaita Acharya. We could carry on reading, but I'm going to read from some notes on the Advaita Acharya. Been taken from different scriptures, some from Bhakti Rakhakar, some from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangala, and Chaitanya Shatavita, of course. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. He is the spiritual master of all devotees and is the most revered personality in the world. By a combination of these two names, his name is Advaita Acharya. He is not different than the Supreme Lord, he is also the teacher. It is through him, Advaita Acharya, that Lord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement, and through him that he delivered the world. The glory and attributes of Advaita Acharya are unlimited. How can the insignificant living entities fathom them? Sri Advaita Acharya is the principal limb of Lord Chaitanya. Another limb is of the Lord is Nityananda Prabhu. Thinking he, Advaita Acharya, is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya obeys him, respecting him as his spiritual master. To maintain the proper etiquette for the principles of religion, Lord Chaitanya bows down at the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya with reverential prayers and devotion. Sri Advaita Acharya, however, considers Lord Chaitanya his master, and he thinks of himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, you could say, even as he appears as Lord Chaitanya, to relish or to experience the emotions of a devotee and what it is, the experience of serving Krishna. The Lord himself also, in the form of Advaita Acharya, is taking this role. In the form of pure reality, he also takes this role of a servant, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He considers himself a servant of Krishna. But Advaita Acharya also, not just the Lord, he wants to serve the devotees. It is highest pleasure. You're higher than being God. Some people want to be God. But higher than being God is to be a servant of God. Servant. Saying this, Advaita Acharya dances and loudly sings. Next moment he quietly sits down. The source of the sentiment of servitude is indeed Lord Balaram, the
plenary expansions of fallen are all influenced by that ecstasy. He liberated the universe by preaching Sankirtan. Thus the people of the world receive the treasure of Lord Godhead through the mercy of Sri Advaita. All the expansions of the Lord are basically on Krishna, basically expansions to fulfill the Lord's personal desires, although they're none different than himself. They're the limbs of our body or the various organs in our body, they all serve the purpose of the whole. They sometimes do re-expand also to fulfill our own purposes. Your glories are as fathomless as millions of oceans and seas. Speaking of its measure is a great offense indeed. All glories to Sri Vaitacharya. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Superior Lord Nityananda. We already read this verse. I meditate upon this Vandetam Shrimad Nityacharya Mahaprabhu. I pray to Sri Vaitacharya, who performs especially wonderful pastimes. And by his mercy I may be able to easily describe the difficult to understand philosophical truths regarding his glory. I meditate upon that source of transcendental joy, Sri Advaita Prabhu, whose lotus feet are always served by the bhaktas. He wears cloth as white as the moon or jasmine flower. He has a smiling face, beautiful arms, and a pure gold complexion. Advaita's eyes always gaze upon the lotus face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He readily grants benedictions and fearlessness to the devotees. His whole body is ornamented with Krishna prema. The foremost of all the Vaishnavas who reside at Navadvipa is Sri Advaita Acharya, whose virtuous presence has made all the world blessed. He is the most preeminent preceptor in all fields, including knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. In explaining Krishna Bhakti, he is like unto Lord Shankar himself, Lord Shiva. And whatever scriptures that exist within the three worlds, he explains in the light of Krishna Bhakti. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main He who is Sri Sadashiva is the Bhakta avatar, Sri Advaita Prabhu, stated in the Gaugandesh Deepika. Sri Advaita, who is a reservoir of virtues, is the main limb of Mahavishnu. He delivered all of the Vedas by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. He explained Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Lord Advaita Acharya is directly the Supreme Lord. Although Lord Chaitanya accepts him as his preceptor, Advaita Acharya is the servant of the Lord. There is one Mahaprabhu and two Prabhus. One Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya, and two Prabhus, Advaita and Nityananda. The two Prabhus serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Now a little bit, I'm not sure, maybe from Chaitanya Bhagavad. Lord Shiva's friend Kuvara, the king of the Guyukas, appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Kuvara Pandit, the father of Lord Advaita. Formerly on Mount Kailash, where the Siddhas and Satyas reside, Kuvara, who is very dear to Lord Shiva, chanted a transcendental mantra containing the names of Lord Shiva. Merciful Lord Shiva then said to Kuvara, please ask for some benediction. It is my desire to give you some gift. Kuvara then asked for benediction, saying, O my Lord, please become my son. Requested in this way, Lord Sadashiva, the master of the demigods and the best of philanthropists, said to Kuvara, during my next birth in the material world, I shall accept the position of being your son. In this way, Kuvara attained a very difficult to attain benediction. When the appropriate time arrived, by Lord Sadashiva's mercy, Kuvara became the father of Lord Advaita Acharya. The Supreme Lord's Yoga Maya potency appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Sri Sita Devi,
the wife of the Lord invited the child. He's David's yoga mat. This is from Bhaktivinoda. In Bengal, there is a village named Srihatta, named Navagram, where Kuvera Pandya, son of Nrisingha, lived. Kuvera Pandya was exalted on the path of devotion. He knew nothing except the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. On the same standard of devotion was his chaste wife, Navadevi, the mother of the Veda, who was worshipable by all. They settled in Shantipur near the Ganges, and were always absorbed in discussing Krishna Katha. One day, Sri Kuvera Pandit and his wife wanted to die after hearing Vaishnava blasphemy. Seeing their state, one fortunate soul pacified them by the desire of Lord Krishna. Even though they were still unhappy, they both fell asleep. After a short time, they both had a wonderful dream. A beautiful, a fortunate person, whose bodily luster defeated the beauty of a mountain of gold, appeared before them. This person was holding the hand of another exceedingly beautiful person, and in sweet words said to him, "You should quickly incarnate to relieve the unhappiness of the living entities who are suffering under the onslaughts of Kali Yuga. By your loving invitation, I will be unable to remain here. I will quickly appear along with my elder brother." Hearing these words, the second person became very happy, and at an auspicious moment, he entered the womb of Navadevi. Seeing this, Kuvera Pandit became very blissful, and as he awoke, his heart became overwhelmed. Kuvera Pandit, who was a learned scholar in all the Shastras, considered in his mind that the Supreme Lord would appear in Kali Yuga in the form of Guru. Thinking this way, along with his wife, he again became overwhelmed and could not check his tears. From that day on, Navadevi manifested signs of pregnancy, and she therefore returned to Navagram. On the seventh day of the bright fortnight of the month of March, the great ocean of ecstasy swelled to its limit, being forcibly attracted by the moon of Advaita, who appeared from the womb of Sri Navadevi. As the moon appears in the autumn sky, the whole world became joyful as Advaita Prabhu appeared in the village of Navagram. His father Sri Kuvera Pandit floated in an ocean of joy and great happiness. He gave many gifts in charity to the Brahmins. Very quietly he approached the maternity room to get a glimpse of his newborn son. Then his own face began to shine by the reflected light of that moon-like personage. The residents of Navagram came running to see the child. Everyone remarked they had never seen such a beautiful baby. What pious activities his father must have performed to get such a jewel of a son. That in his old age, thus Ghanashyam sings about this occasion. He's singing about the related factory. The child was named Mangal, and his other name was Kamalaksha. Suddenly a voice arose from him. "Sri Krishna Chaitanya will appear in this world, along with Sri Nityananda Ram. Together with their associates, they will enjoy wonderful pastimes. They will distribute loving devotional service in each and every house, thereby destroying the unhappiness and lamentation of the living entities. The oceans of bliss arising from the Sankirtan movement will overflow and inundate everyone without exception. This Kali Yuga is so glorious." Hearing this voice, everyone became joyful. The house of Kuvera Pandit became filled with auspiciousness. Fortunate people who witnessed Advaita Charya grow day by day were filled with jubilation. Advaita would sometimes hide himself. Not only by the will of Sri Chaitanya was he found. Having Advaita in their village, the residents of Navagraha floated in bliss, forgetting all unhappiness and lamentation. Although the Lord had two names, Kamalaksha and Advaita, everyone called him Advaita. The child passed unto Advaita were very wonderful. Only fortunate persons were able to witness them. Who has the power to describe them? Sri Advaita Prabhu was like the pupil of everyone's eyes. That's all they saw in their eyes. They just wanted to see this young boy in Advaita Kamalaksha. They glorified him in lying down and in their dreams. Again and again I say that all of his associates were glorious, as is the land of Bengal, by the Lord's incarnation there. Sri Kumara Pandit, who was most sober and full of loving devotion, told everyone, "We will move to the bank of the Ganges." Then along with his friends and other villagers, they all came to Shantipur from Navagraha. Stay with a happy heart in Shantipur. Sometimes he would go to Navadvip to meet his friends. Kuvera Pandit carefully arranged for the Lord to study the Shastras. Within a short time, the Lord, the deliverer of the fallen, also became known as a Pandit for his learning. Although the mother and father of Advaita knew the truth about him, still they forgot everything due to their parental affection. All the learned people of Shantipur were astonished seeing the activities of Advaita. Someone said, "Advaita Acharya could not be a human being, for how could a human being attract the heart of everyone the way he does? Kuvera Pandit is a glorious personality because he had such a son by whom everyone is benefited." In this way, the people spoke of Advaita as Advaita became the life and soul of everyone. Who can understand the desire of Advaita Prabhu, who gave his parents so much happiness in various ways? After some time, the Lord's mother and father disappeared, and Advaita went to Gaya to offer Shraddha. Taking the opportunity, he visited all the holy places along the way. At that time, he took mantra diksha from Madhavendra Puri. Mantra diksha. Gayatri mantra. Who has the power to understand the activities of Advaita, who travel always filled with ecstatic love of God? While travelling thus, Advaita Prabhu arrived at Mathura Mandal. Seeing the beauty of Braj, he became overwhelmed in ecstasy. After seeing all the places, he came to Vrindavan, whereupon all the Vrajvasis carefully arranged his stay. Eating only some fruits, roots and milk, people were astonished seeing his luster. Mad in ecstatic love, the Lord roared and cried out, "Will I see Krishna?" In this way, Advaita Acharya would feel various ecstatic moods at different times. The Lord would worship Krishna near the Yamuna. Then, knowing that the time had come for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, he left Vrindavan and returned to Bengal. The pastimes of Advaita Acharya were all like nectar, but only the fortunate can taste them. But many things are taking place during his stay in Vrindavan. One of the significant events that took place when he was in Vrindavan is, if you've been to the Radha Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan, Advaita Acharya was staying just below the Radha Madan Mohan temple. Of course, he wasn't there then. It came later. This is well before Lord Chaitanya's appearance in the world. And there, it's called Advaita Vat. Tree under which Advaita Acharya discovered the deity of Madan Mohan, Madan Gopal, and he worshipped that deity under the tree there. Later on, of course, the deity came into the hands of Sanatan Goswami, who worshipped the deity on top of the hill there, nearby. But it was Advaita Acharya who found that deity in that place, Madan Mohan. After some time, O Srinivas, the
tree under which. The tree under which Advaita Charya used to stay became well known as Advaita Vat. Just by seeing as Advaita Vat, successful reactions are mitigated, and the very rare gift of devotional love is attained. Then Advaita Charya moved Bengal, Shantipur, and he stayed there for some time. He got married. It said that he was 50 years old when he got married. It was about that time when the Mahaprabhu appeared in the world. He was approximately 50 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we look at mature age. Many of the world's associates appeared before him, Haridas Thakur. It was also an intimate associate. At that time, Haridas Thakur arrived in Shantipur, and he was associated with Advaita Charya. They were together there, chanting and discussing Krishna Kirtan. But Haridas was living in a cave, or feeling hollow, etc. And they were praying. We hear how Advaita Charya was praying for the Lord to appear. One of the pastimes are described slightly differently in Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Manga, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about how they appeal to the Lord, for the Lord to appear in his full form, to deliver all the living entities. At that time, Srivas Thakur was residing in Mayapur. Another devotee, Shukla Bhagavata, and other devotees were there. But the majority of people in Navadvipa Dham, that area, were Shakta worshippers. And they were very blasphemous towards the Vaishnavas. Not criticism. And they threatened the Vaishnavas. That if you don't leave this place, you will throw your house into the river Ganga. The Muslims will come, they will destroy our village. All kinds of threats came their way. But this came to the attention of the Vedic Chairman. He became inflamed with anger when he heard that the Vaishnavas were becoming blasphemous. He became very angry. Listen, Sri Prabhupada. Listen, Sri Vas. I will call the Lord of my heart into this world. He will come to deliver all living entities. I myself am too simple. I cannot deliver them. If the Lord of my heart does not appear in this world to fulfill this task, then I will assume a four-armed form. And with my chakra, I will cut off all the heads of the atheists and non-believers. He became very angry. Extremely angry. He manifested his four-armed form. Then he kind of cooled down again and said, No, my Lord, please appear in this world. You are so merciful. Kindly come and deliver all living entities. And he thought how to evoke the Lord's appearance. He said, I know. I will worship my Shiva. He's worshiping Shiva. And he started to worship his Shiva. With Tulsi, will Tulsi use him coming to hell? Crying out to the Lord to please come, praying, Lord, please appear in this world. And simply offers little Tulsi as some Gangajan. Lord will fulfill his desire. So he worshipped the Lord with his eyes, appealing for the Lord to appear in this world. And said, along with Haridas Thakur, they appealed for the Lord to come into this world. And when the Lord appeared in this world, they were in Shantipur, said they both became extremely joyous when they saw the moon had been covered. They started dancing in ecstasy. And they took bath and they were coming and giving one time. They were together, Haridas. They said that Haridas Thakur basically was no mention of who he took any kind of spiritual guidance from. It was Advaita Charya who was his mentor. So continue reading a little bit more.
to sing, I will be justified. When I call the Lord, my content will appear in this world. Therefore, the principal reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. O my Lord, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. You also live in their lotus-like hearts, which are purified by devotional service. O my Lord, we are glorified by exalted prayers. You show special favor to your devotees by manifesting yourself in the eternal forms in which they welcome you. Seeing the fallen living entities, Advaita Acharya, in great distress, began to fast. So, of course, the Lord appeared in this world. Advaita Acharya and Sita Devi came there to see the child. But they were based in Shantipur. As Mahaprabhu grew up, Sati Devi, Jagannath Mishra, they sent their child to take lessons from the Advaita Acharya. He was a great scholar. So he was taken. First of all, they had another center course, Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa was taking lessons, and later on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also going there. But Vishwarupa is sent first to take lessons. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also go there and get the Advaita Acharya's association, in my opinion. After some time, Vishwarupa left home. Went away and took sannyas, basically. This created great distress to Sachinanta. Tremendous distress. Very, very disturbed. Jagannath Mishra had left the world, and this was a great blow to her. She had nothing to have, except for now her son, Nima. And she was very worried. She blamed Advaita Acharya for her son leaving home, going away and taking sannyas. So she's also very worried that her own son, Nima, would also do the same thing. Very nice. That was considered she committed an offense. And thus she was denied. Lord Chaitanya later on explained to his mother that you will not experience Krishna prema because of your offense to Advaita Acharya. You have to go and take the dust from his lotus feet. Then you will receive Krishna prema. But later on she realized her offense. And she went and took the dust from Advaita Acharya's lotus feet and felt relieved. That offense. Another time, Advaita Acharya, he was very. Lord Chaitanya would always treat him like his spiritual master, like his father. He was much older, and he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, as he was like a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya would take initiation from Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And this way, he treated always with great respect. Lord Chaitanya would be basically worshipping Advaita Acharya. And he would take the dust from his feet also and pay respects to Advaita Acharya. He was much displeased at Advaita Acharya. Did he consider himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya? Very much a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll just read this. By the high devotional merits, Advaita Acharya, a stalwart amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya, could appreciate that the Lord would react angrily to his presentation. I'll expect what happens. Advaita Acharya thought of a plan, a ploy to attract, to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He wanted Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So, and read this from this chapter here. And we leave out chapter number 12, a very fascinating pastime. This pastime first, I want to tell another pastime. So Advaita Acharya was very much desirous to get the opportunity to serve Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was always praising him. He thought, this is terrible. If only I could get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya chastising me. He thought, I've got to think of something. So he got this book, Yoga Vashishtha, which teaches in person. And he started to preach to some of his not-so-Krishna-conscious students. They were very happy to hear Mayavada philosophy. We're all God. There is no God. Gyan is far superior to
she has no chance of existence without the foundation of Jnana, which is superior to Bhakti. He was preaching all sorts of things like this. Because this came to the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was opening all knowing, all cognizant. But along with Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with Nityananda and they went to Shantipur. And they visited one married sannyasi on the way. You know the story. But when they reached Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya went into the house of Veda and Shaya. So when they arrived, Advaita Acharya began to speak even more vociferously in favor of his impersonalist knowledge. Can one really fathom the devotional moods and activities of the pure devotees of the Lord? Who can imagine? He's called the Lord here. Now he's preaching in person. Nityananda accompanied the irate Chaitanya to Advaita's house. Advaita swayed in divine pleasure at his part perfectly as an impersonalist, playing his part perfectly as an impersonalist. Haridas Thakur, he was also there. Haridas knew that Advaita had something up his sleeve. He was going along with it. Haridas Thakur offered obeisances to the Lord, falling on the ground like a rock. Achyuta, Advaita's son, also offered his respectful obeisances. Advaita's wife, Sita Devi, offered obeisances to the Lord within her mind and felt very upset upon seeing the Lord's countenance. The Lord looked very angry, fuming. The Lord's facial expression arose fear in everyone's heart. Rumbling with anger at the end, the Lord said, "Nada! Nada! Tell me which is superior, speculative knowledge or devotional service?" Advaita replied, "Speculative knowledge is always superior. But what is the use of devotional service if a person is devoid of impersonal knowledge?" As soon as these words entered the Lord's ears, Lord Chaitanya became inflamed and forgot his surroundings. He pulled Advaita down from his asana. His Advaita didn't seem to be bowing down, he just sat in his asana, just like Roma Harsha or something. Just like Baladev pulled him, the way he hit him with a plate of grass. But here the Lord pulled him down from his asana and dragged him, pulled him down by his hair, dragged him out onto the patio outside the house. There he threw him down to the ground and struck him repeatedly. And Veda's wife, Sita Devi, is the universal mother and knows all these confidential topics. If she could not restrain herself from trying to stop the Lord, "Stop! Stop!" she cried out. "He's just an old Brahmin. For whose benefit do you chastise him so heavily? He's so old he may not survive your harsh behavior. You will find it difficult to avoid the consequences then of your own actions." He's trying to appeal to save her husband. Nityananda smiled at his words and Haridas Thakur repeated Krishna's name in great fear. Chaitanya was so angry he did not even hear Sita Devi's words. Roaring like angry thunder, he spoke to Advaita. "I was gently relaxing on the milk ocean and you interrupted my sleep. Calling me to attend to your work, you engineered the propagation of devotional service. Now you audaciously obscure the devotional process with your circumventory explanation of impersonalism. If you had already made up your mind to surreptitiously broadcast your speculative theories, then why did you take the trouble of revealing me to the world? I did not disregard your desire and wishes, but you have deceived me in all respects." Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped chastising Advaita and went to sit next to the doorway. He spoke loudly, revealing his real identity to all. He said, "Oh Nada, you know everything. Behold, I am the one who slew Kamsa. Shiva, Brahma, Anantashesha, and Lakshmi Devi are all..." are all constantly engaged in serving me. The imposter Vasudeva met his end, vanquished by my Sudarshan disc. The same disc reduced the entire city of Varanasi to ashes. And he goes on explaining his supreme position. As the Lord revealed his various pastimes, Advaita felt gradually submerged in an ocean of ecstatic bliss. Advaita was more than happy to receive his due punishment in this matter. In this manner, and he clapped his hands and danced in joy, feeling peace and humility within. He said, "My Lord, you have rightfully remonstrated me, and I am lucky to get away with so little. Now I am clear about your divine authority, and I'm feeling renewed strength in my relationship with you as your servant." Advaita danced around in ecstasy, and then, creasing his eyebrows together, he prayed to the Lord, "Now where are your flattering words about me? What has happened to all that deceit? You can insult me. I am neither Devasa Muni, whose remnants of rice you sneered upon your body, nor am I Bhrigu Muni, whose foot impression decorated your breast and is now known as the famous Sri Vatsa. My name is simply Advaita, purely your eternal and humble servant, and I am always hankering, birth after birth, to receive your remnants. By the effect of your remnants of mercy, I am unscathed by the ravages of your abusive potencies. The punishment is now over, so please give me the shelter of your lotus feet." There's a lot to be understood in a relative position here. You know, sometimes we get puffed up. The Lord, cutting a long story short, the Lord sometimes, by his causeless mercy, chastises us. We don't like it very much. But this is a great mercy. When we're sufficiently chastised, just like the faithful child, says your punishment is now over. Please give me the shelter of the lotus feet. When we're sufficient, you could say, correct it, and Pratishtha, Mother, and all the other anartas that plague us in this material world are removed by the causeless mercy of the Lord, then we can actually take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. So our great Acharya is teaching this important lesson for all of us here. We all have, spending our Prabhupada started our Krishna consciousness is strong. He was preaching strongly against Mayavad philosophy. And the devotees didn't know what Mayavad was, they were all just joined, just 66. But one of them had thought Prabhupada has some hang up with some kind of group of people in India. Mayavad is, we couldn't get off his mind. They obviously must have upset him somehow. Couldn't get out of his mind, you know. Why do you talk so much about these Mayavadis? He said, "Because you're a Mayavadi. You're all Mayavadis. Everyone's plagued by Mayavad philosophy. Everybody. We call ourselves religious, we call ourselves devotees. There's still the element of thinking, I am the endurer. I am in the center. How I feel, what I want it my way, I want this, I want that, I don't like this, I don't like that." Anyone says anything to us, we flip out. One small criticism, we hit the roof. Sometimes it's like that, we can't even bear one little criticism. And the Vedacharya is teaching us a big lesson, if you get back to it, you need more. God has words on this, let's see. Very important lesson of Acharya teaching us. We are not God. And how to actually come to realize that and actually take shelter of Krishna. So the Lord himself takes the position to take shelter of his own lotus feet, which is the highest existence, you could say. Highest perfection, highest form of love. But unfortunately, being in the material world, the reason for being here, why Mahavishnu wanted way to try to place us here in the first place is because we don't want to surrender with Krishna for to sleep. Ishvambar, they disobeyed the master Shantipur, then fell to the ground and placed his head on the Lord's lotus feet. We think that Krishna should place his head on our lotus feet. Give me this, give me that, arrange this, arrange that. Come here, come there, do this, do that. We want God to be our servant. Hastily, with due respect, Vishwambar picked up a Veda upon his lap as tears flooded his eyes, cascading down unrestrained. Nityananda and Haridas Thakur were unable to contain their ecstatic emotions at the sight of such a display of divine devotional fervor, and tears flowed from their eyes in rivers. Sita Devi and Chutananda and the servants of the house were crying in intense joy. Advaita's whole house became immersed in Krishna prayer. Vishwambar now felt ashamed after having chastised Advaita so severely and now wanted to compensate him by offering a boon. He said, if anyone so much as takes the smallest shelter roof feet, be he an insect, worm, animal, bird, and even if he commits a million offences against me, I will still grant him my blessing. Vitanok, who said that to Advaita. When Advaita heard this boon, he fell at the Lord's feet and crying like a meek child said, whatever you have said, my Lord, is certainly true. Now please hear and grant me one favor. If anyone tries to follow and worship me but does not serve your lotus feet, then let that so-called devotion to me vanquish him. I cannot accept anyone who does not serve you. He may be my son or servant, but I shall consider him a great offender and shall never see his face, because I cannot bear to see anyone who neglects your lotus feet. Those who worship you automatically become my dearest friends. Funny, he had six kids, and three of the children, they fell into that bracket of being offenders. Three of them, Chuta was a great devotee. But three of them, they didn't have this faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were great offenders. They were rejected by a major child on that grounds. We just got a little bit now. Not much time. So much more. Nectar around the later chair. We just got a couple of little things. I won't have to leave, I'm afraid. 9 o'clock, we have to finish it. Is that right? It's fasting today.
It's fasting today.
What does that mean? Still the class finished at 9 or a few minutes after?
Yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Who said 10?
No. 10.
Stretching a bit. And maybe a few minutes. So you may know about it. I think there's many things that Veda Charya offered. They showed the first plate to Haridas Thakur to establish the position, although he was the most elevated Brahmin in Shantipur, a town basically of Brahmins. The offering to the forefathers, the first plate, was offered to Haridas Thakur, and this enraged many of the Brahmins who couldn't understand it. How was this possible? They were proud, but he was showing actually a Vaishnava is the most qualified person, higher than Brahmin. And he was teaching them things. But when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, of course, his devastating news to him, and all we heard a little bit yesterday about how Vishnu Priya had to face that ordeal and all the residents of Namibia, Lord Chaitanya placed him all into Rupa Mamba Bhav, as he did when he apparently left him alone. So, anyway, after that, he took sannyas, Chaktwa, and then he was traveling for 3 or 4 days in Radhadesh. Area of Bengal, and wandering with Nityananda and a few others, Chandrasekhar and a few others, or whatever. Here and there, like a madman, not knowing where he was, he just wanted to go to Vrindavan. He was just asking Nityananda. He was Nityananda been to Vrindavan, he stayed in Vrindavan 12 years ago. He was appealing to Nityananda, maybe, please, I want to go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan was like that, always on his mind. And then she'd answer, yes, my Lord, we're going to Vrindavan, we're going to Vrindavan. And those news had come to Navadvip, all the devotees, what had happened, Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, they were all devastated. Nobody was happy with this. But Nityananda made an arrangement, and he sent a message to Advaitacharya to repair. He was going to take Lord Chaitanya to Shantipur. And he told all the devotees from the Mayapur, Navadvip, to meet him, to come there to Shantipur and go see the Lord again. But this was unknown to Lord Chaitanya, which was Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya was like completely in mad, day and night, fasting, thinking of eating soup, just chanting, dancing. So anyway, they're going along here and there. And Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya was convincing Lord Chaitanya they were approaching Vrindavan, because Lord had no concept of time. Whatsoever. A few days had passed. And Lord Nityananda asked these young cowherd boys on the banks and told them what to say. And very near is the River Jamuna River. River Jamuna is very close. So then they Chaitanya thought they're nearly there. So on by they went. And then they reached there. This is the River Jamuna. We've reached Jamuna. We've reached Jamuna. Very close is Vrindavan. Right there when he saw the Jamuna, he just immersed himself with his clothes on, just he jumped into the River Jamuna and took his bath in the Jamuna in ecstasy, thinking, now we've almost reached Vrindavan. At that moment, suddenly, on the order of Nityananda, he made the whole arrangement. Suddenly, a major Chaitanya appeared on the boat. Advaita, how did you know that I was going to Vrindavan? My Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Now I've started curious. What is he doing? He made a choice, said, my Lord, don't worry. Please, now I brought fresh cloth for you. You can put on this fresh, dry cloth, just open the monkey, and you kindly come very nearby. I made a little arrangements for your. Sada, if you please kindly grace me by coming to my house, taking prasad, please. And Lord Chaitanya was looking at Nityananda. You've cheated me. You've deceived me. You told me this was the Yamuna. Here, the main child is the Ganga. This is not the Yamuna. And then the Chaitanya said, oh my Lord, the place where you've just taken your bath is actually the Jamuna, because at this point the two rivers flow together. So Nityananda has not cheated you. This is actually the Jamuna. Lord Chaitanya was not very inspiring. But anyway, he went off, they went off, the two brothers went off to the house of Advaitacharya to take prasadam. And Advaitacharya was married, his wife had been cooking, and she was no ordinary cook, being none other than Yoga Maya. And she was no ordinary cook. They cooked an unbelievable amount of preparation. Unbelievable. We don't have time to read the whole story, just can't remember so much, little bits and pieces. So they wanted to know, they ready to try and pull the two brothers into the room, but the offering was to take place. And it was on various plates. Lord was very happy to see this as the offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thousands and thousands of preparations. Large quantities were laid out in front of the deity. And then Advaitacharya said, now please sit down and take your little lunch. Lord Chaitanya said, just give me a little leaf plate. I will take some boiled vegetable and little rice. No, my Lord. Advaitacharya said, no, please, you sit down. This is not befitting me. In a sannyasi, this sort of food is not meant to be eaten by a sannyasi. I might, I lose my position. Very dangerous for a sannyasi to eat such opulent food. They chair said, I know who you are. I know who you are. But you can't eat this. Just sit down and eat. Give up your word, Jumper. Just sit down. I know who you are. In Jagannath Puri, you eat 56 times a day. And you eat much vast pots of the prasad each time. I know who you are. This is but merely a morsel for you. Please sit down. And the Lord was fully forced him to sit down. And I said, I can't eat this. He said, just be quiet. Every little on the plate, you just eat half of it and leave the rest if you wish. Yes, sit down, be quiet and eat. Forced him to sit down. And Lord Nityananda happily sat down. And he started to eat. Every time the Lord had half of something, he would fill the pot up again. It was like an ending prasadam coming in. Unending. Lord Nityananda, on the contrary, was not at all of the same mindset. Lord Nityananda said, what is this? I have been fasting for 3 days, and now I see that I will have to fast again. This will not even half fill my belly. Later looked at him and said, I am a poor Brahmin. What can I do? I can only give this much. You are a wandering mendicant. You sit down, you should accept what I say. Who do you think you're coming here telling me like this? This is what I can offer, all that I can offer. Sit down, be quiet, eat this. Eat. And then this man got quite upset and he started accusing him. You're just a caste Brahmin. And they're going to each other, couple of words, and they're going back and forth. You just, no, you don't know. You just can't, I, whoever I am, you know, because Nityananda, Victor would accuse Nityananda of being some kind of outsider, a renegade, no notional caste. Just, what's the word he used? Very interesting word, you know. Insulted him with various words. No, those you are cast, you are just going here and there. No one even knows you are. I shouldn't have even invited you into my home. I don't even know who you are. You may have ruined all my political principles. Whoever you are, you've invited me into your home. Now, you give up all this foolish caste consciousness and so on. He was going, they were going at each other like anything. They were accusing each other, chastising each other. And you always had this relationship, Nityananda and Advaita, always fighting with each other. All the time. They would wrestle with each other and chastise each other all the time. They're just classical. And then it was loud, Lord Chaitanya was loud, everyone was loud. And they were going at each other. I'd love to read it. It's what to do. It's so much fun. Anyway, they're going on. Eventually, on Nityananda, he said, I can't, I'm going to even have your food. He picks up some rice and threw it at him. And they go, now you're ruined. He said, I will never come again in 2 hours. And then the Vedacharya jumped up in the air and I will never again invite any sannyasis to my home because the sannyasi was ruined all my Brahminical principles. They were going to each other like this. They were doing this like the real thing. Anyway, it was ecstasy and I met you. I got all their business. They always had these kind of ecstatic relationships. We don't need to imitate these type of things, but these are the kind of spiritual interaction, exchanges, loving exchanges between intimate associates. And there's another one, a very interesting one. We've already mentioned a little bit about that, but I want to read something as obviously an example of him being chastised by Lord Chaitanya. Now, Advaita Charya had a servant named Kamalakshi Vishvasu, who was a very close servant of Advaita Charya. We knew everything about Advaita Charya. But it so happened that one time Advaita Charya had accrued a debt of 300 rupees. So Kamalaksha Vishvasu, this is when they were in Jagannath Puri. Every year Advaita Charya, more or less every year, would come to Puri for the Rathayatra, stay 10 months and months there with Lord Chaitanya in Puri during that period of time. And he would also invite the Lord then to his home. But whilst he was there, some another gave a clue to death, 300 rupees thereabouts. So Kamalaksha Vishvasu, he went to King Pratapa to try to ask the king to solve this, what's the word, relieve him of his debt. And Lord Chaitanya, again, he heard about this, his king, and Lord Chaitanya became quite angry at Kamalaksha Vishvasu. What nonsense is he talking? On one hand, he says that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the other hand, he accuses him of being a poverty-stricken beggar. Complete nonsense. He's a ball, he's a madman. He should be banned. So he sent a message that this Kamalaksha Vishvasu, he said, I never want to see his face again. But the Advaita Acharya became very upset. Seeing Kamalaksha Vishvasu unhappy, Advaita Charabhama told him, you are greatly fortunate to have been punished by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord said he was very, very pleased. I'll read a bit of purport here. When Lord Chaitanya punished Kamalakanta Vishvasu by no longer allowing him to come in his presence, although the punishment was actually very hard on him, Advaita Acharya, understanding the inner meaning of such punishment, was happy because he appreciated that the Lord had actually favored Kanta Vishwasa. Therefore, he was not at all unhappy. Devotees should always be happy with all the dealings of their master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be put into difficulty or options, but he should accept both as gifts of the Supreme Lord and jubilantly engage in the service of the Lord in all circumstances. This is an authority judgment by Sri Advaita Prabhu. He clearly advises that one should not be unhappy when adversities come upon him by the order of the Supreme Lord. A devotee should always be happy to receive the fortune awarded him by the Supreme Lord, which seems pleasant or unpleasant according to one's judgment. Mood of the devotee wants to advance to take a compromise with Shaman Bhutani, that would be the time of the book. To accept this as the Lord's mercy, not to react, oh, why are you doing this against me? We always tend to bite back. This is the sign of our violence in persons. We see ourselves in the center. We don't see Krishna's handwork. Formerly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as his senior, but I did not like such respect. Talks about his preaching at Yoga Vasishtha, how happy he was when he was punished. After pacifying Kamalakanta Vishvasa this way, Sri Advaita Prabhu went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita told Chaitanya, I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamalakanta than you generally show to me. The favor you have shown to Kamalakanta is so great that even to me you have never shown such favor. What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor? Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed with satisfaction and immediately called Kamalakanta Vishvasu. Advaita Acharya then said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why have you called this man? Why have you called him back and allowed him to see you again? He has cheated me in two ways. Only they could understand each other's minds. Lord Chaitanya instructed Kamalakanta, you are a balya, one who does not know things as they are. Why do you act this way? Why do you invade the privacy of the Advaita Acharya and damage his religious principles? Advaita Acharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings. If a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. Very important purpose. Rishabha Prabhupada describes how important it is that we should be very careful on the type of food which we eat and from whom it comes if we want to maintain our devotional principles. When one's mind is polluted, it is very difficult to remember Krishna. When we remembrance of Krishna's handprint, one's life is unproductive. Again, the same point being mentioned there, that the Lord Mahadeva is meant to chastise the living entities. This is why Mahavishnu has created this world. But at the same time, through his consort, Maya Devi, the same time living entities don't learn their lessons, generally speaking, we remain averse to Krishna. So he appears in this form to try to change our consciousness, change our attitude. Then we can accept that. Chastise the material energy or whatever form may come and surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Well, I don't know, maybe I have time now. It's 9:10. I made the Lord Chaitanya loved and made a child's dancing. Mr. Dance and the Wrath of the Actors, Lord Chaitanya would personally select the dancers. The first thing he would do in the Wrath of the Festival would be, there were 7 parties, 4 directly arranged by Lord Chaitanya. And each party, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose the prime, the lead dancer. So he chose 4, then he chose 4 lead singers, and he chose 5 accompanying singers in each party. Then there were 2 Madhunga players in each party, and 6 or 8 Kartal players in each party. So different persons were chosen, hand-picked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's not just a free-for-all. The whole Ratha Yatra is to evoke, you could say, the heart of Lord Jagannath to return to Vrindavan, to satisfy the willing with the burning desire of Srimati Radharani. It's not something to show off, to have a good time, and flip out whatever you do on Ratha Yatra. It's actually this cry the Lord to come back. So, you know, on that level, obviously, it's a whole different situation. But in this particular case, everything, all the, each song was just the song to fit the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath. Everything was just perfect. Every single beat, every single thing went on, the dancing, everything just completely harmonized with the heart of Chaitanya. The dancing was such an important part of it. He chose 4 dancers in the center. And they were, usually when we think of dancers, we think of young people, younger bodied people, at least that type of dancing. But the 4 dancers he chose were Advaita Charma, who was at that time in his 80s, well, in his 80s. Advaita Charma was about 70, Haridas Thakur was about 70. And then Nityananda Prabhu was 12 years senior to Mahaprabhu, and then the final Kosmasan. Famous dancer, what's his name? Lakshmana Panda, famous dancer. So these 4 personalities were the 4 main dancers, 4 prizes. And so Vedic Charles is a great ecstatic dancer. An ecstatic dancer doesn't just mean showing off, having a good time. It means that one's actually connected with the heartbeat of Lord Chaitanya, in essence, in this kirtan. In our case, at least, we're connected with the kirtan, the sound of the holy name, and dances to the sound. It's like, inseparable from the sound of the instruments, whatever instrument they're playing, they're following the holy name. They're not trying to control it. They're meant to embellish the holy name, to bring out the chanting. And if it doesn't bring out the chanting, it's useless. Playing instruments, not chanting, dancing, not chanting. If you're told to do that, that's okay. But otherwise, it's not right. If you're playing the drum and playing the djembe, especially, you should be chanting at the top of your voice so you can't hear the djembe. So it's so loud, you know, not that we just bang away, you know, and stand back, or dance like an idiot. The chanting should be, we should chant at the top of our voices. But the holy name, which is the Ubudan, they're to embellish, the instruments come along to embellish. Thank you, Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Amazing stories in Chaitanya Bhagavad about the dancing. Beautiful stories. The big description of all the to discuss Vaishnavism delivered by Vaitacharya. Ah, this is what he said. Vaitacharya said, "You are a reject paramahansa." Ah, you have accepted the renounced order of life just to fill up your belly. I can understand your business is to give trouble to Brahmins. You can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. I'm a poor Brahmin. How shall I get so much rice? Whatever you have, though it be a pound of rice, eat it and get up. Don't show your madness and strew the remnants here and there." Lord Nishina said, "My belly is not yet filled up. Please take away your food. I have not taken the least of it." "Nityananda, I invite you, and indeed I have received the results. You have no fixed caste or dynasty. By nature, you are a madman. But make me a madman like yourself, you will throw the remnants of your food at me. You need not even fear the fact that I'm a Brahmin." Nityananda said, "These are remnants of food left by Lord Krishna. If you take them to be ordinary remnants, you have committed an offense. If you invite at least 100 sannyasis to your home and feed them sumptuously, your offense will be nullified." "I shall never again invite another sannyasi, for it is a sannyasi who has spoiled all my brahminical smriti regulations." Back and forth. He also invited the Lord to his home in Tekapuri. And at that time, and in Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go for every day, he would go to a different house to take prasad, practically. And when during the time when all the devotees were there from Puri, and that day, there was a Vaitacharya who wanted to have the Lord on his home. But the Lord would always go with all of his inner associates, dozens and dozens of devotees would travel. He wanted them along, so what to do, what to do. The last day, everyone was getting ready to go to a Vedic home, and Vedic had cooked everything for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was just praying. So that day, it so happened that an enormous storm took place. Torrential rainfall. Nobody could go anywhere. They could reach Vedic's house. Only Lord Chaitanya, on his path, there was no rain. He just walked there, and he alone reached the house of Vedic, and all his desires were fulfilled. That way, at least on that occasion, Indra got some blessings when he poured down rain. This is how he atoned for pouring the rain down. In this occasion, he was the Vedic child glorified Indra. "Thank you, you fulfilled all my desires." You can read something past times if you have time today in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavan, Bhaktivinoda Karan, other literatures about the glories of the Vaitacharya on this wonderful day when we're supposed to be fasting this morning, and we pray for the Vaitacharya. As far as we sang that song, Sukadeva Prabhu sang the song this morning, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Koramori. And then there, Narottam Das describes how it's only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda we can get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, but only by the mercy of the Vaitacharya can we get Nityananda's mercy. It's interesting, Vaitacharya being said as Shiva, combined form of Shiva and Vishnu. And he also oversees, you could say, the false ego, the initial false ego that the deity develops when we come in contact with the Mahatattva. We develop this false conception there of who we are and identify with the material energy. By the mercy of Lord Vaitacharya, we can become free of that false identity. All these various pastimes and to cut that false ego, the root of our, we could say, of our materialistic condition is this false ego, this false identification with the grace of Lord Shiva in the form of the Vaitacharya. We pray to Lord Shiva in the form of the Vaitacharya to help us to become free of this false ego. We no longer see ourselves as the enjoyer, see ourselves as the proprietor, see ourselves as the center, as the controller, the doer, and so on and so forth. Just see us fortunate, having even felt the mood of being, feeling myself fortunate to be able to be engaged with the devotees of the Lord. Some participate in charity's best year, and be the servant of the servant's servant. Shri Advaita Charity,
Jai!
Regrets there, Shri Advaita Charity,
Jai!
What praying on
that? Amen.
Association.